Dear Shooter, last week Wyoming got plunged into darkness in a way that felt like the whole grid took a siesta. We're talking a massive multi-county blackout that left 100,000 customers, over 20% of the state's power users, in the dark. And that got us thinking. But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, no. I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip
weird.
On, it's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Dear Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
Yeah, we got to witness firsthand, you know, like major power disruptions.
More like second hand. We just had the
we had the bumps.
Yeah, the little bumps. We didn't actually experience the dark.
But we had the ripple effect.
We did. Now, I was finally able to find out. They confirmed the cause, and they said it was two transmission lines. The breakers on these transmission lines tripped near Medicine Bow. And it just caused a cascade effect.
Sure, as it would.
So what about the power plant ended up on fire?
Yeah, so the power plant, this is one of our coal-fired power plants outside of Glen Rock. It caught fire because of the repeated power surges.
Something was wore out.
I think so. And while they say that this solar storm that we've been experiencing the last week or so was not a contributing factor, I can't see how it's not.
I just don't know if they have any studies to show that it was or wasn't, so they're saying no.
Yeah. They can't prove it, but they can't disprove it either.
And then it was a hell of a storm.
So I know most people who suffered the outage was from like noon 30 to like 9:30 at night.
Yeah, I was like...
On a what day?
This was on a Thursday.
Okay, so a minor inconvenience for those of us that work.
Yeah.
And it wasn't cold. We're having a pretty mild winter so far, so it's not like we were freezing to death or anything.
No, but you were kind of watching the updates in real time, and one of the ones was they were telling people who were on oxygen places to go where they could have power.
Oh,
I know several places caught fire. Yeah, because okay. Their generators would kick on and off, on and off, on and off because of the surges.
Yep. And because of transmission lines and power lines sparking and tripping, there were several wildfires that were started by this thing.
All right, so you're going to have to walk me through that. First question, so I'm going to have to surge protect my generator, is that what I'm hearing?
Probably.
And then... breakers causing a wildfire. How does that work?
So, and these were around Gillette, so the northeast corner of the state. As some of these powers were tripping on and off, the transformers would spark, causing grass fires.
I guess that makes sense. Okay.
And they said there was like 20 or 30 of these things, anywhere from an acre to 50 acres. And they got them out quickly, but...
Was this related to that fire in Laramie?
No.
Just a coincidence.
No, this was all directly related to this power outage.
Interesting. Okay.
But it didn't, and it wasn't just Wyoming. This affected people all the way up to Rapid City in South Dakota and up into Montana.
So we really kind of discovering our centralized grid's weakness.
Well, not completely. It also covered, what, three different power companies?
Yeah.
It was, but we're High Plains here. And we just had the surges now and then. But we didn't experience
now,
the dark.
Now, to be fair, our neighbors up the road, they lost power. They kept the bar open until it was too dark.
Atta boy.
But, yeah, they had to shut the kitchen down.
Well, that makes sense.
So, I mean, there was outages as close as, you know, 2 miles away from us.
How long does this thing last?
About 9 hours total for some people. Some people it wasn't as long.
That's a testament to the guys that go and work.
It is. And I mean, you know me. I have the dark humor, but, you know, my thought was, okay, we just got shoved into the dark ages, so that set us back a week and a half.
Yeah, but did it? I mean, really?
I didn't notice.
I didn't really even notice. I mean, this is news to me.
How did you not know about this?
It didn't affect me in my way of living one little bit.
Right up until it does.
Right.
You know,
evidently.
That's...
But, yeah, I must have been doing something away from the office. I must have been doing something outside where the grid didn't affect me in any way, shape, or form.
No, but it, I mean, it really, it, as I'm getting, you know, Brandy's giving me these updates. We were running around town doing some stuff, and she's giving me all these real-time updates of, oh, man, this happened, and now they're telling people to go to the hospital and go here because they have a generator. You can keep your oxygen going, and
so like information like this. This is definitely that life-saving communications relay that we all need.
Right.
It is, but
how did you get it?
Cell phone. It was happening through County 10.
So Facebook?
Yeah. So Facebook, County 10. Now, a lot of the older generation doesn't have social media. They have to have something else out
somebody
there.
Somebody else watching for
and
them.
And there's no electricity.
Yeah,
so
how, yeah, that was my thought, was cell towers. Who's actually getting this?
Well, if it didn't interrupt your feed, then it didn't interrupt the service. It really didn't interrupt you too bad.
I mean, not us, but the people in the affected area, how many of those cell towers were still functioning?
Couldn't say. I definitely couldn't call them.
I mean, because this was like regional. You're talking from Cheyenne to Rapid City to Bozeman, pretty much the entire eastern half of Wyoming.
So where did it originate from?
Medicine Bow.
Laramie. Outside Laramie.
Mm-hmm.
And took them out clear through Rapid City, up into Montana, some of the towns up in... It took... Boom.
In this day and age, it boggles my mind that we're not insulated, isolated enough to let a little bitty problem stay a little bitty problem. Not let it spread to the whole grid like that.
Well, I mean, we've been... The power grid has been an issue for decades. We're still using parts from that were installed in the 1950s that had a lifespan of about 30 years and is still in operation.
Ain't
now,
broke, don't fix it.
Well, I mean, yeah. Now, that's a testament to the equipment that we used, but our grid can't handle the power demands that we have on it now.
I would agree with that.
And you think about all these new data centers that are going in and the power draw that those things create.
They're putting in their own power plants just for them.
Yeah.
It's going to be substantial.
I mean, I'm kind of curious to see how things go when we get our new nuclear plant online. Of course, I think all that's going to California.
I don't think we're going to see a stitch of that electricity.
It sucks.
So it's, you know, an academic thing for us. Hey, look, it's over there.
Right. But all of this, all of these cascading effects really kind of got me thinking about things. And especially in the way that this, it was just a cascading effect of problems. So power goes out. Now, another section of the grid gets strained and it goes out. Now you got a power plant on fire. Now you've got other sections of the grid being strained and going out, starting wildfires. People that require electricity to stay alive. I mean, all of these things start happening in conjunction. And my thinking goes to, holy crap, all it would take is for the power to be out for 3 or 4 days. And it would be chaos.
No. If your power goes out in November through February for more than 24 hours, that's life-threatening for 60% of the country.
I think more than that.
A lot of folks will figure a solution out, but there's a lot of folks that won't be mobile enough, mm-hmm. don't have the resources to. It is life-threatening in 24 hours.
Yeah.
Well, and just think, we're a small state. What if this happened in New York City?
It's not the power outage that would get you in such a trouble in New York City. It's the human panic. The fighting, therefore, access to power of somebody who has a generator versus those who don't. The human nature side of things would start to show itself as a real danger. Not the sparking causing wildfires and having a power plant on fire. It's the humans going without their accustomed necessities that would cause the problem.
Yeah, so like here, we just put wood in our fireplace, grab a couple of candles, and move on with our day.
Put another layer of clothes on and, yeah, move on with your day.
The problem for us here, though, is when we lose power, we lose water.
Right.
Because we're on a well. We've got to be able to run that pump, which got, you know, and that's where it really got me thinking. It's like, okay, I need to do some form of solar, wind, something that I can run the water pump, the fan on the wood stove, and maybe like a refrigerator and a freezer.
You have some very basic necessities in a household, a modern household today, and your number one priority is going to be water.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You've got, what, a 5-horse pump running downhole?
Yeah.
So that's a substantial amount of amperage draw.
Yep.
And so there's a good amount of backup that you got to have. I looked at a solar solution for the house, and it's not horrible, but it is definitely purpose-built for your circumstance. And you got to prioritize all the circuits that you are going to need versus the ones you're going to want.
Right.
But water is paramount. It's number one.
Right. And it's installing some kind of a battery storage system that's going to allow me to expand as time goes on.
Which is the weak spot of this entire system. You look at battery storage systems, they're lead acid core. They're 6-volt. They're deep cycle. They don't have a very long, useful life. They tend to crack, corrode, break, leak. If you overcharge them, they explode. So they got to be, you know, bunkered in their own little separate container with ventilation. It's a full process. Now, lithium battery has changed a lot of that mindset. The problem with lithium is if it gets a nick or scratch and it gets exposed to moisture in any form, you have a fire you can't put out.
Right.
And it's violent. So each of those solutions have their little trade-offs, but where do you put your money on it won't happen to me?
Well, you don't. You try and isolate that system as much as you possibly can. It's the only way to do it.
And in most places, Wyoming included, you cannot take your home completely off-grid.
Nope.
And that has nothing to do with anything other than property tax and the idea that you might sell your house to somebody else that doesn't want to be off-grid.
Gotcha.
And so the connections can't be lost, right? One of the dumbest reasonings I think I've ever heard for...
Well, it is and it's not. If you look at it from a control perspective, the government's not going to let you do something that gives them less control.
They hate that. And what you're talking about is your water well, taking that control from electricity need off of their list of things they can supply you.
That's right.
Now, you're still going to have your connections to the grid and if you want it, but you have a bypass switch.
That's right.
That allows you to add demand or, when power fails, it switch it and let it run for as long as it needs to and then switch it off. But being able to switch it off so they can't continually charge you that trickle bill is what they hate.
Yep. Now, here's the thing, though, and this is something that I've really thought about a lot, is, okay, cool, I've got everything capable of being off-grid. I hit that disconnect switch, and now I am off-grid. But nobody else is. Now I have to practice light discipline or I become a target.
Moth to a flame.
Uh-huh.
And you don't want to attract those moths.
No. No, they're usually not the ones you want.
They're needy. They want what you've got, and they're willing to take it.
Yeah. And that's where it starts getting scary. Mm-hmm. You know, that was, we had several conversations last week of, you know, what we got home and we expected to not have power because we knew kind of who did and who didn't. And we expected to not have power. Now, we did, but I was ready. We have oil lamps and we have other things that we'd figured it out. You know, I was getting ready to get my my jet boil out to make dinner.
But we have a fireplace for that. It's fine.
No.
I mean, you can do it that way. And some of the best meals I've ever had came off of a fire pit. So it's not a bad way to go.
When you have your Blackstone, we have all sorts of things.
Oh yeah, we'd have made it work. And we have the advantage that if it was a situation like that, you know what? We have our camper. And it is off-grid.
Completely.
So, it's not like we wouldn't have, you know, I know your big thing is this time of year, 24 hours, yes, it can be life-threatening. I have a place that has a furnace that doesn't rely on the power grid.
Yeah, but then again, you got to have that same discipline of you can't show the world that your house is warm and cozy.
That's right.
So, you're going to be judicious in how you do it and on alert when you think you should be comfy.
Yeah.
So your comfort level, no matter which way you look at it, is diminished a little bit.
Well, and I think the world today has gotten too comfortable. We have forgotten how to be uncomfortable. And I think that attitude's really kind of contributed to woke society.
Well, there's a big panic when you say you can't have electricity for a planned outage when they say it's going to happen between 2 and 4. We grumble and grouse and have a small baby fit about it. Readjust your schedule between 2 and 4.
It wouldn't be an issue if they wouldn't keep rescheduling those stupid things.
Yeah, we're supposed to get a power outage scheduled. It never happens. It never goes out. And you're just wondering, so what day this week is that happening?
Yeah, so you're in the you're sitting there, you're going, okay, I don't want to start anything because as soon as I do, the power will go out. But you just plan around it. It's fine.
The human animal has an inability to actually schedule. We see this in professional services that you rely on schedule. For example, you move into a new place. And you have the cable guy. He's all scheduled. He's going to come see you somewhere November 1st between, 9 and 9 p.m. Maybe Thursday.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I know. But if you're not there,
you are out and you have to reschedule. You have to start over.
I know.
But then the guy doesn't show up.
Right, and you just lost. Yeah, anyway. And you just lost a day.
Yeah.
Because you probably had to take a day off of work.
That's right.
But
that's, we're talking about that first world problem, right?
Agreed.
Because at the end of the day, it's a minor inconvenience. I don't get my cable today. Oh no, I'll read a book. Whatever. But these are the things that get people spun up and willing to get angry and be not so nice.
I can kind of see getting a little spun up about that. And my reasoning is because now you have completely, you took the day off of work so that you could be there for them. They don't show. So now you have to do this all over again. Now you've lost 2 days worth of work. And where's the reimbursement on their side for ghosting you? Because they didn't call and tell you, well, we're not going to be able to make it.
Their time's the only one that matters.
That's the problem.
Learn this, live by it, because ain't nobody going to care about your time.
No.
It's their time.
Nobody does.
And you're talking about disrespect from a unconscious level. They have no idea, never stop to think about it, that that's problematic for you.
Well, it's not, because you need them. They don't need you.
Correct. Well, they do need you.
They do.
They forget about what position they're
really
in the conversation.
Because, like power companies, for example, we are in High Plains. There is no other choice.
Well, right, but
what are you going to do, not pay your bill?
but it's
if you don't pay your bill, I guarantee you they're gonna start paying attention to you.
But at the same time, somebody like a cable company, because you've got satellite, you've got streaming, you have so much other competition for them, they better take care of you for what they charge.
But they're not going to out of the gate. They're trying to train you how to disrespect yourself. Because
marketing 101 here, people.
If you are okay with them treating you a certain way, that's exactly what you're going to get. And when they go above and beyond and absolutely answer the phone the first time you call, you are so floored. You are happy. You're easy to deal with. Because you were flabbergasted that they did customer service. You're not used to it. They've been conditioning you for years.
Yeah, but usually when I call customer service, I'm talking to Ahmed over in India.
Mm-hmm. What happens now? You call that same number tomorrow, and you get
somebody over
Thailand.
A white
guy that actually speaks English.
No.
Yeah, but what happens? Your mindset changes. The way you talk to them changes.
I assume I got the wrong number.
You're going to ask some questions, but your attitude about how you're approaching the problem you're having has changed. Because you expected A and got, well, F. They went way down the line and surprised you with good customer service.
Well, let's see if it's good customer service first. Because I might get Jake from State Farm.
He's making my point for me.
No, I might get Jake from State Farm. His customer service may still suck.
Right. You're making my point for me. They're conditioning you for years. You have gotten cynical and expect to be shit upon when all they had to do was treat you right out of the gate and they can just be human every time they call.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
But they've been conditioning us for years to accept shitty service.
Well, and that's across the board.
And scheduling's where it all starts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my favorite, we had a sprinkler guy that he was going to come and blow out all the lines, clear them out for the winter. And while he was here, we wanted him to look at putting in another line. Well, we're both working, and I was 2 hours away, and Brandy's in town, so she's 20, 25 minutes away. And he calls her and says, well, I'm here. Where are you? And she's like, well, I'm at work. I can be there in 20 minutes. I don't have time to wait. And hung up on her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was no longer our sprinkler guy.
Yeah, and that's because you had an option. How'd that second option go, by the way?
It was garbage.
Okay. You know, they came out to look at something, and they stole half of your manifold setup.
No, that was him. That was him that did that. The second guys that we called, I wanted them to fix some sprinkler heads and clean them out, and they didn't do any of it. And then wanted to charge me like $250. And I called them up, and I'm like, for what? You did not do half of what I asked you to do.
What'd they say?
Well, yeah, we still have to cover the time. I said, no. I said, I am not paying you for stuff that you have itemized on here that you did not do.
They've been conditioning you.
Now we got a third sprinkler guy.
Yep, okay.
I like this one. He came out. He was here for 2 hours, did everything that I asked. And, like, the bill was half of what the previous guys were.
Sounds like a young guy trying to make his way.
Yeah.
He still is idealistic enough to believe that he has to provide quality service to gain business.
Well, and I think he also understands that there were some previous owners of that business that really kind of pissed some people off.
And he's been hearing about it ever since.
And he's got to regain that trust.
Absolutely right. And the guy you're talking about, I've been business coaching with. Helping him out, doing the mindset, walking him through logistics, helping him understand how time and money are linked. And he's a sharp kid. He still has some previous owner tendencies, but we'll get through those. He's young. He'll make it. It'll be fine. But he's still, again, young, idealistic, and believes the foundation of his business starts with his customer satisfaction. And I'm trying to train and condition a business to be useful for the rest of us. And it's working. He's listening. And you watch. He's going to explode. And there will be a day you won't be able to get in his calendar because he's too busy.
Well, that's why I'm getting in his calendar now.
Yeah, and just tell him, every year. I want this in my calendar until I tell you to stop.
So are you business coaching electricians next? I mean, just let me know where your coaching business is.
This happens to be a buddy of mine's kid, and he asked. So I'm just helping him out. But yeah, the business coaching side of thing there's some ideas that people have in their head about how business goes that are just wrong, flat out wrong. And if they just tweak that mindset a little bit, their customer loyalty is going to go through the roof. Their return customer, their referrals are going to expand in a small environment like we live in.
Now, there's a fine line between the customer's always right and you know, sometimes the customer's not right.
Well, you're right. Sometimes the customer's not right, but that doesn't negate the fact that you still have to take care of them. So you have to find out what they want, even if they're not right, and you have to provide that solution. So in essence, the customer is always right.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back. Let's actually talk about some solutions for when you do lose power.
Okay.
Beans, bullets, Band-Aids, and booze. While everyone forgets about the last one, 10th Mountain has you covered. With a range of whiskey, vodka, and cordials, you're sure to find just the right spirit for your next adventure. Just remember to flip up your nods before you take a sip. Now shipping orders to nearly every US state so you can get in on the awesomeness. Enter Deer Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. Whiskey worth fighting for.
Are you fed up with paying premium prices for mediocre performance? It might be time to up your game with Lucid Optics. Lucid Optics delivers world record-setting performance without breaking the bank. From long-range precision, hunting application, and the first-ever reflex optic in blue, your mission won't be compromised. Lucid Optics are built tough as nails for the most demanding situations, using ED shot glass to ensure your view is crystal clear and backing it up with a lifetime warranty. To learn more, ask your dealer or go to lucidoptics.com. Lucid Optics. On target. Under budget.
All right. So, and here's these fires that were started up in Sheridan County. It was a high-voltage power surge dropped sparks along a rural stretch of road in Arvada, Wyoming, to the Montana state line, blowing out numerous fuses. Multiple fires as a result, power lines that were energizing. 7 fires ranging from half acre to 50 acres resulted from the surge. All fires were quickly extinguished with the help of ranchers and rural volunteer fire departments. So the danger just doesn't just come from the power being out.
No, it's because we depend on it so much.
We do.
In so many different ways and levels.
We do. And it you know, they sit there and they talk about this being a cascading failure. But scale it up for a minute. Any kind of even short term, let's say 3 to 5 days, power's out. You can't pump gas. So travel is gone. You're not going to be getting, you know, trucks into the grocery stores, things like that. And most grocery stores, they're out in 24 hours.
And the refrigeration's out. You're looking at canned goods at that point, if there are any.
Oh, they're gone.
Refrigeration is one of those things that you have a little more than that 24 hours because nobody's leaving the door wide open.
Right.
But you got to be judicious, open and shut it.
Yeah, but not in a grocery store when the meat's just out in a refrigerated shelf.
Oh, yeah, those cases were nightmare. When the power shuts off, they defrost.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an absolute nightmare. in a power outage, that's a problem.
And I think, you know, we've talked about this before. I think that's the biggest problem is loss of power.
No, the biggest problem is the human element.
Well, agreed. But But without that power, like that's what starts that cascading drop into primalism.
Right. So the power is the cause.
Right.
The primalism is absolutely the symptom that you have to inoculate.
Right. So how do you, I mean, it's tough. And like out here, we have it easy. We have generators. We have the ability to do solar. But what about that guy that's in a fifth floor apartment?
He's kind of stuck. He's kind of hosed.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the best thing he's got going for him is fifth floor apartment. Hopefully it's got 7 or 10 floors.
Right.
And he's insulated by the people around him to right. a certain extent from, because I remember when I lived in Apartmentville and I was going to school, I never once had my heater or my AC on.
No.
Because everybody else around me was doing the job.
Yep.
My power bills are real nominal because I paid attention to thermodynamics. but they get
engineers.
Straight up environmentals is the least of his problem. Fifth story. He's not hauling water up five stories every day.
No.
Right? So he's going to abandon his apartment pretty quick.
Right.
It's not a place he can live.
Well, I was in an emergency situation, Colorado Springs, long time ago. Kids were little. Well, I only had my firstborn then, little. We were under, they had the military shut Colorado Springs down from the snow.
It was a snowstorm, yeah.
We had snow up to our rooftops. So as a community, neighbors on all sides, one neighbor had a baby with no milk. I stored powdered milk. I grew up in Wyoming. So I have all this stuff, and we learned to ration and split the things that we had that got us through. In an apartment setting, there's not as much, but there are more people.
No, but there are things you can do, and especially like today, you know, go get that. You know, I have a couple of these. Goal Zero makes them. They're a little fold-out solar panel that'll charge four AA's. Or it'll charge like the charging brick for your phone. And if you've got a couple of those that are charged up and you got your solar panel, that you can get through. Now you haven't lost communication as long as the cell towers are still up.
But the Goal Zero, how long does it last? Let's say just normal emergency item only type of recharge.
Well, it'll fully charge my brick. And my brick will charge my phone three times.
Okay. How long does it take to charge your brick?
A day.
Okay. So a day, and you can get every other day worth of charging off your brick.
But yeah. You need the sun, too. So if it's cloudy, it's a thing.
Sure.
But, I mean, you probably already got the brick, and if you keep it full, like I always try and keep at least one of mine full. So I'm good for, you know, 72 hours right there.
But you've got a portable power source, and you're thinking ahead.
Right.
Most folks aren't going to have that. Again, well, you're back to a discipline of...
But that's why we're saying this, right. Is so that people go, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
But then you're back to a discipline of, I've got to do this in a clandestine environment. I can't show people I've got it.
Well, that's why I like these little Goal Zero things. I mean, they're the size of a notebook, right? Yep. I can lay that on a porch or something. I even inside of my house, I can put that in the sunbeam. And nobody's going to know.
Real well.
Yeah, nobody's going to know.
No. In that environment, no.
Now, my dog's going to be pissed off because I'm using his sunbeam to charge my phone, but...
He'll get over it. It'll be fine.
But, I mean, something like that is small, and it actually works really well. I've used them for years. Every time we're out in the field, I'll throw it out on... I put it on the back of the Ranger as we're driving around, and it charges up my phone. So, you got things like that. Candles are tricky because anytime you're dealing with open flame, you've got a hazard. And I'm usually more worried about the idiots next door than I am about my own discipline.
Well, that's really more important. You start looking at apartment land.
Mm-hmm.
You can't trust your neighbor. You got a problem.
And, you know, if you've got a case of water or, you know, like when we go camping stuff, Brandy gets like it's like a 2-gallon box of water.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, something like that doesn't take up a whole lot of space, and that's enough water to get you through 2 or 3 days if you ration.
Sure. Absolutely right.
So having a little bit of water, having a little bit of extra food on hand, warm clothes, be able to layer up if you need to.
Point is, make a plan.
Yeah, have a plan.
You can't count on it. Nothing is fail-safe.
Right. But it doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be expensive. And it doesn't have to take up a lot of space.
But you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? And you can upgrade all of that, and you can change it around. But have a plan.
Yeah. Well, think it through.
My plan takes lots of space.
Your plans always do.
Yeah, your plan usually means like weeks worth of work for me.
It's not a bad plan.
We're good on food for how long?
Oh, my God. I don't even know at this point. But here's the thing, too. Like, we have finally reached the point of sustainability. It's not just that, we got a couple months worth of food stored up. We can produce it. We can still hunt. Your garden is freaking amazing. So we can provide for ourselves, which, of course, makes us enemies.
Always will.
It's a tough place to be.
But when did you start your plan?
During the last Bush administration.
Okay.
Plans, like, as I got older, I started new hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really a plan. It just became something I wanted to try, something I wanted to do.
But you focused your efforts somewhere productive as well.
Yeah, so
part of a plan.
We're set for a really long time because I came up with a hobby.
But you started your plan in the Bush administration, right?
And it has evolved.
It has evolved. But it started somewhere of a, I don't trust it.
It started when I really started paying attention to a lot of the things that Obama was saying. And I went, this isn't good. This is going to take us to a bad place. And it did eventually. Now, it didn't take us as far down the rabbit hole as I thought it could go. But I don't know. There's still that possibility. And unfortunately, it's the groundwork that was laid during that time.
Right. There's a simple mistrust of something that was going to potentially happen, which started your cascade of a plan that's evolved into today's plan, which you're going to be pretty good for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a multifaceted thing. Each level of components, you start with your must-haves, survival stuff. You start with your, I want to keep my survival stuff. And then you start with, what do I want? It's always last on the list. But start with a plan. Got to start somewhere.
Yep. Yep. And I would say that security's first. And the reason I say that, I'm not necessarily saying, guns and ammo, right? But just, you're running away from a bear, okay? Or somebody almost hits you on the highway and you get that adrenaline dump and all you want to do is just get away, right? Because you can't really think clearly until you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, security comes first because you can't think straight, you can't make a plan, and you can't make good decisions under that kind of intense pressure.
I'd agree with that.
So get safe, then your shelter.
What do I need? Survival stuff first.
Right.
And you're teaching a course on this. I assume you've got a curriculum written up mm-hmm. at some point. If you're interested,
I can't really necessarily say it's a course. I'm doing this as a consulting side because everybody's situation is a little bit different.
Agreed.
I can't boilerplate this thing for people. So I'm doing it as consulting work. And helping each individual family or group of people that have, helped them develop their own system.
It changes based urban, rural. Well,
I think we've all seen enough movies and we all watch enough politics. And I think the average everyday person is overwhelmed enough with life in general. They don't know where to start.
They don't. And what the big thing that I see in the very first thing I always ask people is, what are you prepping for? And I get a myriad of answers from, people in Portland are like, well, we're preparing for the next riots. people hear, well, we're preparing for severe winter storms, you know, power outages, severe weather events, political uprising, you know, whatever it might be, Yellowstone exploding.
That's easy.
While they're all great reasons and very reasonable to think about, they're all wrong.
Fair enough. Why are they wrong?
Because you are preparing to sustain, shelter, secure, and keep healthy you and your family. That's it. If you boil it down to that, that's your mission. Now you can start the spider web of all of the facets that go into doing that.
Well, if you take care of that list, everything else kind of takes care of itself.
It does. Because it people get so hung up on the event, on the trigger, that yeah, but it doesn't, if you look at it from the way I try to teach it, it doesn't matter what the trigger is, you're ready.
Correct. Different way of thinking about your circumstances. Look around, go look at your pantry and go, am I good for how long?
Right. And it doesn't, you know, and even if you're sitting there going, well, I would like to get, you know, I need to beef this up. You don't think you have to do it all at once. Every time you go to the store, pick up, you know, hey, I'm going to get some SpaghettiOs. I'm going to pick up 3 cans instead of 1.
If you've got the ability to do so, do so.
Yeah. And a lot of this stuff, if you watch, you can do it relatively inexpensively. And I will say that the slow way is the fast way. Don't think you have to do it all at once.
I couldn't agree with that more. Every time a box of dynamite comes up, I have to buy it. It's a compulsion.
I have that same compulsion, but I've got the food and the shelter and the medical taken care of, so I can splurge a little bit on the wants. So crazy times. I hope everybody got to see the aurora. I mean, that was cool.
It was cool.
That was way cool.
Part of the solar storm we saw.
Yeah, and you can't tell me. Yeah. Magically, in the middle of this, we have a power outage.
If it pushed it into this latitude, it was a good one.
They said it was the biggest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, God, I guess until next week, we're going to blame the sun.
Done.